Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the CIR First Half 2026 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rodolfo De Benedetti, Chairman, and Michele Cavigioli, CFO of CIR. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this call. As usual, we'll go through the key numbers that were approved by today's board meeting with the half-year results, and then opening up to your questions. In terms of volumes, sales were slightly up 1.7% in H1. The growth came really from COS, 4.3% growth on last year. GFI was basically flat. Net result for CIR came in at 18.6 million, up from 14.5 million same period last year. The improvement was mainly at COS, and this is also due to the increased ownership that we have of COS, so 100% as opposed to 60% for the same period last year. This brings the contribution of COS from 4.7 million to 8.7 million this year. GFI about flat at 10.5 million, and the holding company structure slightly better, but almost in line with last year. Net financial position was impacted significantly by the COS transaction. It's -24 million consolidated against a +220 million of same date last year. The main driver here was the 227 million investment in COS, 25 million in buyback of CIR shares, as well as 13 million of minorities dividends. This basically explains the difference. In terms of outlook, we pretty much see a confirmation of what we budgeted for at COS. We have increased occupancy both in Italy and in Germany. I would say that this is the sum of regions where we are at capacity, close to 95%, which is really the maximum occupancy which you can reach. There are still some regions, both in Italy and in Germany, where we can do better than that, where we are not there. We see that as an upside that we are working on to realize. There has been a tariff adjustment, I'll come to that later, in rehab Italy, as well as Germany, which will continue throughout the year in the case of Germany. We expect, as we, I think, indicated in a prior call, that this year should be kind of a consolidation year for COS. We had a significant increase of profitability last year, and we plan to basically confirm a slightly higher result this year, but not obviously with the same progression as we had last year. GFI, the latest guidance is that we expect low single-digit decline in revenues for the whole year. This was confirmed in the first half of the year. Probably the first half of the year saw a slightly better market than what we predicted, particularly in Europe, where the market has been relatively good. Weak China, as we'll see, and pretty much in line U.S. We indicated that we foresee for the year a basically to confirm the EBIT margin of 25%. If you go to page five, we just reminded the major events for H1. You already know about the buyout of the KOS minorities. This happened at the beginning of the year. It has been a significant investment for CIR. It was financed through our cash reserves plus a or minus a dividend from KOS that was paid to shareholders. Today, we own 100% of KOS, as you know. We also proceeded with further buybacks of our own shares, as we have done for the last few years. We made a tender offer for 50 million shares, which was partly successful, and together with open market purchases, we invested about 25 million euro in the first half of the year to buy back our shares. As we indicated, from next week, because we had to respect the close period, we will resume the ordinary buybacks through open market purchases, as we have done in the last few years. If I go to page seven and basically comment the consolidated P&L, I'll maybe go on the right side because the consolidated numbers are relatively meaningless. But as you can see, in terms of revenues, we had good growth in Germany. This is mainly because of the increase in tariffs. We had good growth in Italy in nursing homes and flat revenues in rehab. And Sogefi, including exchange rates, which had a negative effect of about a percentage point, we are slightly negative. The financial result, as you can see, is slightly better than last year, mainly because of the better return on CIR's parent company financial assets. And so the total is 14.5 negative against 18.3 last year. And then on the lower right side, you have the breakdown of the contribution. So as you see, as I mentioned earlier, KOS contribution grows substantially, mainly because of the 100% of the result that we have this year compared to 60% we had last year. Sogefi is flat, and CIR holding company is pretty much in line with last year. And so this brings our net result at 18.6 million this year. Page eight, you have a breakdown of the consolidated debt. KOS has higher net debt at the end of the period. This is mainly because of the dividend that was paid in the early part of the year that I mentioned earlier. That was part of the F2i transaction. Sogefi had a positive free cash flow in the first half. And so you have the total for the subsidiaries, and the CIR holding was impacted, as I said earlier, by the cash out for the F2i buyout. You have on the left lower-hand part of the chart the net financial position, including long-term leases. Those are mainly, as you know, the KOS facilities that are not owned and that we finance with long-term leases. You have the bridge of the net financial position. I think I commented already those numbers. So unless you have questions later, I won't spend any time on it. You have on the lower part of the page the operating cash flow for the 6 months and the breakdown between CapEx and working capital and funds from operations. And as you can see, both KOS and Sogefi operated with positive operating cash flows in the 6 months. Passing on to page 10, where you have a detail of our balance sheet. On the left side, you have the increase of the KOS investment, going from 60 to 100%. The Sogefi one is simply the addition of the 6 month result. And then not much else to comment, no major changes for the rest of the, chart, with the exception of the net cash because of the cost investment. And then you have, total shareholders equity and divided by, number of shares. And this is, the difference is mainly related to the buyback of shares. On the right side, you have the private equity in and out, so new investments and distributions. Not much to report here. Last year, as you might remember, we had a negative currency effect on the private equity investments because most of them are dollar denominated, and we had a significant dollar devaluation, which wasn't the case this year. And then you have a bridge on the lower part of the page for the net cash at the holding company, which goes from 362 to 162. And the main impact here, as I mentioned earlier, cost acquisition and share buybacks. On page 11, you have a simplified P&L of the holding company. Income from financial asset was better than last year, even though financial assets were lower because of the cost investments. The holding company recurring costs were in line with last year. Non-recurring costs were this is mainly related to the costs acquisition, notably something called Tobin tax, which is a tax on share transactions that we had to pay on the acquisition of the 40% of KOS. This brings the net result at a slightly negative 1.3 million for the 6 months. On page 13, if we go to KOS, you have basically the number of beds on the right-hand side. No major changes here. On page 14, you have the P&L. As you can see, slightly higher profitability. Growth came mainly from nursing homes because of a 3.5% tariff increase. Germany grew by 6.8, with a slight increase in occupancy and an average tariff increase of about 5.4%. And rehab and psychiatric and acute care were quite flat in terms of both top line and margin. So the increased contribution to the bottom line comes from Italy's nursing homes mainly, and Germany. Net debt showed an increase of 56 million. This is mainly due to the about the same number, 56 million of dividend payment that happened at the beginning of the year, plus a cash out from a stock option exercise, which was related to the F2I transaction, where we bought back some shares from management and some development capex, as well as some net working capital absorption. I'll skip the outlook because I already commented on it before. On the lower left side, you have the real estate situation. Not much to report and no major changes since the end of last year. Page 15, you have a breakdown of Italy and the three businesses we operate in Italy, as well as Germany, with both the number of beds, the average and end-of-period occupancy rate. I think they're all pretty self-explanatory. As I said, Italy nursing homes, this is the sum of all regions. There are regions where we are at regime in terms of occupancy. There are a few regions where we still need to get there. I think the important thing here for the rehab business in H1 was that the Italian government passed a law that established an increase in tariffs starting from July 1. This increase is significant depending on the type of service, but this was long overdue. It hasn't been. We hadn't had increases for years, and it's a significant increase, which will then have to be implemented by every region, because, as you know, the healthcare system is administered by regions, and so they will have to basically transform it into their own administrative decisions. Every region have, you know, their own timing and their own interpretation. So we expect that this will take, you know, a few weeks, if not months. And so we will have the full year effect starting from the beginning of next year, and, you know, maybe some elements of it in the rest of the year. Together with that, we will also have a renegotiation of some labor agreements in the rehab activity. And so that will bring an increase in on the cost side. We think, all in all, the plus and the minuses should result in, you know, a probably mid- to low-single millions of euros better contribution on a full year basis compared to the present situation. Germany has a increased occupancy. Here, too, we have a number of regions which are at capacity. And we have a particular situation of a single region where we're far from saturated. There are, you know, issues related to margins and particularly real estate contracts. We are focusing our attention on a very limited number of structures which are responsible for a significant negative contribution. And so the problem is not broad, it's very concentrated. And also taking into account the new management that is in place, we have established this to be, you know, one of our most pressing priorities to attack and resolve this situation, which is responsible for, you know, a few million euros on a very limited number of structures of negative contribution, which really pollutes a bit the German numbers. On page 16, you have a P&L by segment. So both Italy and Germany. And you have a comparison between the first half of this year and the first half of 2025. You know, as you can see, we have over the last few years, we have gone back in Italy to the margins that we used to generate, or very close to the margins we used to generate before COVID. And I remind that, you know, this H1 2019 was the best year before COVID. And so it was kind of the top performance that we experienced in this business. And, you know, we think that we probably won't get to the exact same percentage margins, also because the perimeter has changed and has grown. But we have fully recuperated the shortfall that COVID created. Germany has been longer to catch up, but we are pretty convinced that we will be able to get there, particularly attacking those few structures that I mentioned earlier that are responsible for, if not all, but most of the shortfall against the plan that we had when we made the acquisition. Going to Sogefi on page 17, as I said, revenues pretty flat. Despite that, increasing margins, this is frankly a remarkable performance. I think management has done a great job here, with declining revenues and a pretty volatile market and raw material tensions, to be able to basically have a slightly better EBIT margin in H1 compared to last year. So we're very happy about H1 performance. We highlighted the fact that there is a relatively poor visibility going forward, but this is not new. This has been the case for quite some time. This is related to duties, it's related to higher oil prices and the impact that this can have on the end customer decision to change his car, raw material prices increases. But frankly, we've pretty used to this. We've been operating in this business for a long time, and I think we have a management team that is capable and experienced and that knows how to pass on those macro negative variances to clients. So I'd say that there's not much to report here other than pretty good performance in the first half. On page 18, you have it broken down into two divisions. Both divisions increase their performance compared to last year, so they both contributed to a better performance. Air and cooling has higher margins. It used to have higher margins historically, so this is a business that operates at 9% EBIT margin, which in this business is a very good performance. Suspension, as you recall, comes from far because we had a couple of years where we had almost zero contribution, and there's been a very successful turnaround in this division. So margin has grown to about 6% of EBIT margin, which is not bad, which is probably still we can do better, but it's substantially better than it was just a couple of years ago. This is it for the presentation. I have taken about 25 minutes, and so I'd like to leave the rest of the call to your questions.
Thank you. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Martino De Ambroggi of Equita. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Few questions on costs, because I clearly understand that the net effect between revised upwards tariffs and higher cost of labor has a low mid-single-digit improvement, let's say, on a full-year basis. This has to be considered in absolute value, I suppose. But focusing on the increase in tariff, you mentioned a few weeks or months, so for sure this in January next year will be fully implemented, or there is a risk of delay. And could you quantify overall what is a normalized, all other things being equal, the normalized positive impact for the tariffs?
Yeah, maybe I start and then I leave it to Michele to complete. So yeah, you're correct. The mid to low single digit was intended to be millions of euros of increased contributions on a full year basis compared to today. In terms of timing, it's always difficult to forecast how public administration take decisions, and particularly their timing. Every region is different. Every region has their own approach in terms of interpretation, budget constraints, and so, you know, some of them have already started to communicate measures. I would suspect that, you know, this will happen certainly before the end of the year. In the government decision, it is said that the tariff increase is valid from January, from July 1st. Then obviously every region has some leeway and some autonomy, but they have to basically respect the national decisions. And so this is why we believe that this should be effective on a full year basis from January 1st next year. Michele, do you have anything else to add?
No, just maybe to give you a bit more flavor what this was about. This is a increase in the hospital rehabilitation tariff, which has been frozen since 2012, so very long time. And for this very long time, we had no tariff increase in rehabilitation. And at the same time, the labor contracts were kept almost frozen as well. So usually when you have an increase in the tariff, then there has to be also a labor contract renegotiation. And this is what will happen in the second part of this year. The rehabilitation tariff, depending on which kind of service is concerned, will increase from a minimum of plus 3% to a maximum of plus 18%. So very, very differentiated across the different specialties of the rehabilitation care. And we think that it's not going to be the same in all the regions, because we have seen it before. Every region tends to interpret in a different way, cap, non-cap, maximum. So they will have differences here and there, and also regarding to the retroactivity, they will be different. So for the time being, we cannot make any real forecast for this year. We assume that it's going to be over by year end, and so the impact for 2027 is what Rolf was saying before.
Thank you. And on the German side, I remember in the last call you mentioned there are 3-4 nursing homes creating problems, and you were renegotiating. You were in the renegotiation process. I don't know where we are, if there is any update on this. For the full occupancy, if I remember correctly, Italy is expected this year, Germany hopefully next year for the full occupancy.
In terms of occupancy, as you have seen, on our slide 15, we were 95 something in Italy in 19, which was probably full occupancy, because you never get to 100. Now we are a couple of points less. Most regions are 95 and above. We have a few regions and a few homes here and there which take the average down. So we can certainly have an upside here if we work specifically on those special situations to get back to 95. Not probably this year, but there's some upside for 27 to get there. In Germany, we're still lower. 95 plus is also achievable in Germany. Some regions like Bayern are already there, which demonstrates that we can get there. And the national average is brought down substantially by the special situation that you were talking about. It's three, four homes with real issues that are related to real estate quality, real estate non-performance, non-availability of staff in certain other cases. So we are seriously evaluating an exit from those structures. Not easy to implement because of the length of the rental contract, but we are considering to, if the turnaround is not successful shortly, we are considering to exit to just avoid a few homes making the national average in terms of both occupancy and EBITDA suffer.
Okay, thank you. And the last on costs, I know it's difficult to predict M&A, but how is the market? Is plenty of opportunities, or there is few opportunities to grow? Because I believe that now that you have full control of costs, you are probably more incentivized without any problem in accelerating in the M&A acquisitions and so on.
Yeah, we have since the beginning of the year, we've been more active in proactive in looking for opportunities. We have a couple of things in Italy where we'd be interested and we could be close to a transaction, but obviously it depends on whether we will agree on terms with the sellers. Frankly, there is not much stuff that is attractive. There is a lot of stuff, but not much that is attractive in Italy. And so we don't foresee, anything sizable or major in Italy for the time being. There is much more availability in Germany. The market is more fragmented, but it's probably not our priority. Our priority there, as Michele was saying, is really to tackle those problematic nursing homes and having a better performance of Germany. And as you know, we have a new management in place since last year, and we need to make sure that they really are on top of things and that we're comfortable with the way they work. And so we are not proactive there. We are willing and open to external growth. It has to be accretive in terms of profitability and earnings. It has to be in the right regions and in the right businesses. And so this limits the number of quality assets that are available. We also have about 500 greenfield structures in construction, about half of it in Germany and half of it in Italy. And so that will come on stream in the next quarters.
Okay, thank you. And very last on CIR, you are continuously buying back shares. You didn't say anything about the possibility to cancel them, but as you already did it more than once in the past, this is the final goal, I suppose.
Yeah, the final goal is that, as you well know, you know, we did cancel the shares when we reach thresholds close to the 20% statutory limit. We think that to do that before, it's just useless because it doesn't change anything, and it takes away an optionality. Theoretically, you could also use shares for other purposes. We have never done it, and we don't plan to do it, but it's an optionality that costs nothing, and so we will, you know, as long as we continue to buy back shares and we will get close to that 20% threshold, we will cancel them, and ultimately, that is the goal.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one. The next question is from Filippo Ercole Piva of Kepler Cheuvreux. Mr. Piva, your line is open.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Hi, good afternoon to everyone. Just one quick question, maybe concerning the pipeline, the greenfield pipeline of costs. If, due to the fact that overall you have included, like, 50 new beds, a bit less than 50, sorry, 40, from the end of 2025, are you expecting to add further number of beds for the year? Or when we will have to include those, let's just say, 450 in our model. So if you're still expecting 2026, 2027, some further numbers of bed, or it would be more toward 2028?
No, this pipeline is the under construction pipeline. So one came into operation at the beginning of this year in Germany, but it's not included in the 450. The 450 is projects that we have committed, so we have the construction permit, et cetera, but they will come live more towards end of 2027, 2028.
Perfect. Thank you.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Well, then, thank you very much for those of you that have attended, and have a good summer.
Thank you. Goodbye.